Returning to Paul's letter to the Philippians this morning, and we're at that fourth chapter, please. And commencing to read, just for the sake of time, at verse 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I want you to look at that phrase again in verse 7. And the peace of God. And what a phrase that is. The peace of God. And remember, it's not talking about peace with God. Don't let's get it mixed up. Oh, it's very true that therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Oh yes, we stand before God as if we had never sinned at all. And we have peace with God, but we're not talking about peace with God. We're not even talking about peace from God. Because there are many wonderful portions that show us that peace comes from God. We're thinking in this phrase about the peace of God. And I don't know any tongue that can expound this. Remember, nothing can disturb the peace of God. How would you explain the peace of God? There is never a ripple of disturbance on the peace of God. When Hitler was here, in all his terror and fury, he never disturbed the peace of God. When Nasser was planning to blot out the Jewish nation, actually he threatened to exterminate them. And as he stood there in his anger and bitterness and malice, he never disturbed the peace of God. I don't know any tongue that can expound this. And then I want you to get the hold of this. This phrase says the peace of God, and Paul had to put this little bit in, which passeth all understanding. No matter how intellectual you may be, no matter how capable your understanding is, you're never going to grasp that in all its glory and wonder. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. I want you to think about the peace of God garrisoning your minds. Shall keep your heart and mind. Get the shall in. Because it's not only a phrase, it's a promise. What a promise it is. The peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds. Just let's say the peace of God shall keep your minds. What a promise it is. And I want to talk to you quickly this morning about the pathway to the peace of God in your mind. Because this is the mighty phrase that's here, and it's the mighty promise that's here, but it's the mighty paragraph that's here. You see, you can't take this text out of its context. This is one of those that you can't do it with. You see, we'll have to go back to where we began this wonderful paragraph. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. And you know, this pathway to the peace of God, it begins with jubilation. I want you to get the hold of that. Now, let's get this quite clear, that when Paul penned, rejoice in the Lord always, remember he was in the prison cell. Remember he's looking through the bars. Remember in the first chapter, he's talking about, I have a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. For a moment or two, he thought the end had come. So that he's in a prison. He's looking through the bars. It's a dark day. He feels that the end is very near. And yet he's penning this mighty phrase, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, when we talk about this rejoicing in the Lord, remember we're not talking about sensational giggling or some wee girls in a corner cackling. Let me just get that across to you. This is no giggling match. This is not somebody cackling the way they go on in sensational nonsense. He's talking about rejoicing in the Lord. And I want you to get that correctly too. Because he's not talking about rejoicing in the things of the Lord. Because there's a lot of things, you know, you get a lot of joy out of. Preaching the other Sunday morning on, in goodness and mercy shall follow us. But we're not talking about rejoicing in the things of the Lord this morning. And we're not talking about rejoicing in the blessings of the Lord either. And they're mighty. Let's get that very clear before we get it mixed up at all. Because you know you can have success that comes from God. Oh yes, great success. I believe that the Lord was with us in the meetings last week at Grogan in a mighty way. But you don't rejoice in the blessings of the Lord like that. That's not what Paul's talking about. You see, Paul's talking about rejoicing in the Lord. You see, if you get the things of the Lord even, or the blessings of the Lord, these may be transient. Oh, but when you rejoice in the Lord, you can rejoice in the Lord always. Because He'll always be there, and He'll be the same yesterday, and today, and forever. You see, it isn't that you are never sorrowful. Because I think that sometimes people read the text, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, and they're going through a time of sorrow. And they think that this thing is really bumping up against them, and what's wrong with me? No, my dear, that's not true at all. You know, when Habakkuk, let's get this quite clear, when Habakkuk was here upon the earth as a prophet of the Lord, you remember he came to this conclusion that though the fig tree shall not blossom, and though the labor of the olive shall fail, and though there be no fruit on the vine, or no herd in the stall, or no meat in the fields, yet, in spite of all that, I will rejoice in the Lord. Now, it doesn't mean that he didn't feel the famine. Of course he felt the famine. And it doesn't mean that he didn't care for the cattle. Of course he cared. And it doesn't mean that he didn't miss the meat in the fields. It just means this, that although he was sorrowful in a sense, yet always rejoicing. That's exactly what Paul penned in another page, you know. Because it doesn't make a matter how the storm howls, or how the darkness deepens, or what the problems may be. Yea, your soul, in a sense, may be overwhelmed within you, yet you know you can lift your eyes and see him who is invisible. Isn't this the thing? This is how Moses succeeded. You remember that. Moses succeeded like this. He could see him who is invisible and rejoice. Yes, I want to tell you this bit, you know. You'll never accomplish this properly except you're constantly being filled with the Holy Ghost. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. You can't muster up strength to do this. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. But I think you must notice this, that this is only one of the steps toward peace, the peace of God. You see, Paul said this behind it, let your moderation be known unto all men. And you begin with this jubilation, that come what may or what must, you turn your eyes upon Jesus. And when you look full in his wonderful face, then the things of earth grow strangely dim. And you can rejoice in the Lord that never changes and who is in command the whole way through. Oh, but there must be something more about you, you know. There must be moderation. Let your moderation. Oh, that's a great word that's there. Sometimes it's translated forbearance. Let your forbearance. Sometimes it's translated sweet reasonableness. Once in a very old copy, it's translated by a big long hyphen word. Let your easy to get on withness. There's moderation. And you know, unless you get this into going order this morning, unless you can see that you can rejoice in the Lord always, and what may, and that's jubilation in your soul, and unless this moderation is seen in your life, this easy to get on withness, you're not getting near the peace of God at all. Oh, but it goes a little bit further than that, because it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, let your moderation be known unto all men. And then that beautiful little phrase comes in, the Lord is at hand. And I don't think that's got anything to do with the Lord's coming again. Of course I believe the Lord is coming again, I'm a premillennialist. Oh, I believe he's coming soon. By the signs I see around me, why, things are ready to burst in almost every country of the world. Well, I know in that sense the Lord's coming is at hand. Oh, but this is not talking about his coming, this is just saying the Lord is at hand. This is what David said long ago, the Lord is at my right hand. The old translation from Williams, the Quaker, is still the best. The Lord is at thine elbow. You see, this is realization. You see, there must be jubilation in your soul. There must be moderation on your life. There must be realization in your heart. Oh, let's get these working together till you see what we're weaving. Yes, he's there, all right. You just feel around for him with a hand of faith. Somewhere in the shadows, you shall find him. But there's a bit more to it, isn't there? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. That's what you call cessation. That's ceasing to worry. You see, if you look at all these things, you'll find you can't do them on your own. You need to be constantly being filled with the Holy Ghost to have this joy. You need to be constantly filled with the Holy Ghost, because the fruit of the Spirit is not only love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, it is faith, and meekness is the next one. Now that is moderation. It comes from the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you this. It is the Holy Ghost that makes Jesus real beside you. When he has come, he shall glorify me. He makes the Lord real to me. I was saying to my boys the other night, he's more real to me than either of the two of you. I mean that. So he's at my elbow. Yes. You say to somebody, stop worrying. You might as well say something else. There's no use of getting some soul like the girl I had the other night sitting in tears and trembling. She couldn't understand why the Lord allowed her dear mother, who was an old saint of God, to be shot. Of course she couldn't. No use me sitting saying in a polite, pious way, stop your worrying. That doesn't work like that. Oh no, my dear friend. It will take the Holy Ghost to come, won't it? Because you see, the Holy Ghost, the fruit is love, joy. That's the joy. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. You know he can give you faith that overcomes. Do you remember me walking down the porch church stand with Dr. Barnhouse, put his big arm around me, squeezed me tight. He said, I want you to remember this. Never forget this. When you're worrying, you're not trusting the Lord at all. When you're trusting, you're not worrying. You can't do it apart from the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will lead you to the very passages that will create this faith in the Lord, in your heart. And that's what I had to get about the other night with a young woman. And did it successfully too, by the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, he can make you cease from worrying because he gives you faith. Faith in the Lord. And when you have faith in the Lord, you're not worrying. You know, there is not only this jubilation and this moderation and this realization and this cessation here. But it goes on to say, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, there must be this supplication. You see, this whole verse here in verse 6 could be rendered like this. Careful for nothing. Prayerful in everything. Thankful for anything. It's all there. And I think that once we get to this place where the Holy Ghost inspires our spirits to pray, when we learn to pray in the Holy Ghost. Do you see what I'm at this morning? If we're going to get the peace of God in our hearts, then the Holy Ghost will have to fill our lives continually, and He will give us joy, and He will create the meekness that's necessary, the moderation, the easy-to-get-on-withness. Yes, He will give us the realization that the Lord is at hand. Oh, but this cessation will come. We will trust and not be afraid. Ah, but He'll create supplication in our souls, won't He? And when this jubilation and this moderation and this realization and this cessation and this supplication is all working out, then the peace of God, and not till then. That's the pathway. And it's there for you. And it's there for me. And if you take the steps, you'll know the peace of God in your mind continually. May the Lord bless you.